Okay. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Wow, what a great way to put the pressure on. It's great to be together this morning, and I really appreciate kind words and encouragement. It's funny when you become Christian at 20, and then you blink, and you're 48. And it's just great, but what's most special is to just look around and understand all the connections. I know Sarah and I wouldn't be here if it weren't for the church. Thank you for your love, for your support, for your kindness, your mercy, for your vision. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for God and His church. And so I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Today is also special because today is Sarah's birthday. It's my PYT's birthday. For those who are young, that means pretty young man.
Sing it.
It's for Michael Jackson. And it's just great that we can have times to celebrate. On Thursday, it was like a roller coaster day.
Yeah.
Early that morning, my aunt who passed away, we performed her funeral, and man, what an emotional day that was. And I do again thank the church for your prayers and support. That it was much needed. But we went through that day, and then later on, there was a pep rally at West Orange High School. There's a popular rapper named GMGB who performed there. And I didn't hear a word he said. It was more like mumbling to me. But the kids, they ran after him, and it was just like, wow. And then Friday night, there was a marriage masquerade party. And helping to organize that. It was a phenomenal job. Guests were there. There was dancing and laughing, lots of great food. And if you're interested in helping with our marriage ministry in the future, please, you can see Larnie Richardson, because that it was just a great time. And you can tell the couples that have not been out for a little while. And we need a little break from the kids. It was phenomenal. There was like extra dancing going on. But as we enter into the end of this year, I want to share this morning a lesson entitled "Exalt God Only." Turn your Bibles over to Genesis chapter 39. One of the characters that I've been studying probably since the summertime is Joseph. And did a lesson at preaching young teen camp. And he's so inspiring. He's so amazing to me. And if we don't have time to get into all of the story from the beginning to the end, and a lot of us know it, but Joseph has been sold into slavery by his brothers, who hated him because his father showed favoritism to him over his 11 or 10 other siblings. And they all knew it. They all saw that Dad loved him more. Dad even gave him an awesome colored ornamented jacket. And they hated him. And it got to a point where they decided that they were going to literally kill their brother. And so instead of killing him, what they did was they sold him into slavery. And what they did was they made up a lie, and they cut his robe up, dipped it in blood, and went back and told their dad that he'd been killed by a vicious animal and that his son was dead, even though it was a lie. So he gets sold into slavery, and he's now under the care of Potiphar, who is an Egyptian official. And what Potiphar does, he says, you know, there's something different about this guy. And so through time, he goes to second in command in Potiphar's house. And now he's there and he's working. And in Genesis chapter 39, let's just read a part of this here. Genesis 39. Look at what happens. Okay, verse 6. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, "My master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. You know, Joseph was a young man in a compromising situation. But there was something different about this guy, because he lived in a way that said, "God is with me. God is watching." As if God were the only one in the audience. And he was living to please him. And he says this question, "How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And I just thought, wow, God must have been so good to him that doing something that he could have easily gotten away with and nobody else would know was unthinkable. It wasn't even unthinkable. He says, I don't want to be around this chick. Because he was so conscious of God. He practiced the presence of God. And you know, I love the fact that this is a young man. You got an older woman hitting on you. And not just anybody. This is Potiphar's wife. And it says day after day after day. And she was trying to wear him down. But this man had something going on inside that says, "No, no, no. No, no, no. I love my God so much more. There's no way I'm going there." In fact, that's wicked. And you need to, you know, get the step in here, sister. But you know, if you read the story, she turned the heat up. She organized a plan. She had everybody leave. And then she physically went after him. And he literally ran out of the house. Because how could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Joseph didn't have a quiet time series. Joseph didn't have someone in his small group that he could call. Joseph didn't have a podcast, or he didn't even have a Bible. This is pure relationship with God.
All right.
101. God said, "I'm doing it." God said, "I believe it." And he had a conviction that not only was God with him, but he was going to exalt God only. Are you with me, church? Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful that you are so worthy of our praise and honor. Please, as we study your word today, that you would move in the hearts of each and every person here, that we can see you in a greater way, see you what Joseph did, that we could exalt you with the life that you've given us. We love you and pray all of this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the question, church. Where did this type of conviction come from that when put in a compromising situation, he didn't give in? Instead of giving in, he says, no, I'm going to exalt God. I believe the answer to that is in Genesis 37.
All right.
Look at Genesis 37, verse 5. And here's what it says. Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, and when suddenly my sheaf rose up and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brothers said, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. Listen, I had another dream. And this time, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. You know, church, I believe one of the things that helped Joseph when he was in the temptation with Potiphar's wife was that Joseph had a dream. God had put something in his heart and mind, and it was kind of guiding him. That when temptation came, he wasn't giving in because God said, hey, I got something planned for you. You know, God has a dream for every one of our lives. God's got a plan for your life. The funny thing is, we have dreams as well. What's your dream? What is it that you want to see God do in your life with everything that you've got? Because sometimes our dreams are God's dreams. And sometimes they are. So stop playing the lottery if you're doing that. Just kidding. He had a dream, guys. You know, when somebody has a dream, they're not going to get tripped up by the things that can alter that dream. Are you with me? When someone's got a focus, they're not going to deviate over here or there because that's going to stop you from getting to where you want to get to. But you know, if you read the story of Joseph, I'm not sure he kind of understood all that came with the dream that God had for him. Are you with me? And you know, that also goes to show you and I, sometimes you may think, well, it should go this way, or it's going to be like that. And God's like, we're going to go backwards first to go forward. And then we're going to hang a left. And then we're going to hang a right. And we're going to zigzag a little bit. And then we'll start heading north. See, we got to keep remembering who really is in control. God's in control. And again, as we read this story, as you look at Joseph's life, it wasn't easy. You know, this story with the woman Potiphar, he was charged with rape. It landed him in prison, in a dungeon. And in that dungeon, he does a favor for one of the guys. He interprets a dream. And then he tells the guy, hey, don't forget me. Guy gets out, gets his freedom, and he forgot Joseph. He forgot him. But you know, the Bible also says, as Joseph went through trials, he continued to stay close to God. And the Bible says that the Lord was with him. And wherever he went, God used him. Wherever he you know, whatever situation came across him, God provided and worked things out so that he could continue to move in the direction God wanted him to go. What's your dream? What is your dream? Can you describe it? Can you articulate what your dream is? You know, again, sometimes that'll be God's dream. Here's one thing I know. God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So parents, it is God's dream for your child to not only become a Christian, but to stay a Christian.
Amen.
I believe it's God's dream that Christians marry Christians and create little Christian families that can maybe become big Christian families. I believe that God wants us to experience relationships in a way that are so satisfying and fulfilling that people who come around us are like, wow, who are these people? What is this all about? How do you know each other? You're not very similar, but you like each other. How does that happen? God has a dream. What is your dream? Joseph had a dream, and God began to reveal it to him. My second point, God fulfilled the dream. I want you to jot these down because just the time's sake. Genesis 41, verse 15 and 16. And so at this part of his journey, Pharaoh says to Joseph, I had a dream and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Then if you skip down to verse 37 in Genesis 41, look at what it says. So at this point, Joseph reveals, hey, I got an idea. Here's what you can do to, you know, prepare for this famine that's getting ready to come. And so Pharaoh says, the plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all the officials. So Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man? One in whom is the Spirit of God? Here we got an Egyptian Pharaoh talking about seeing God's Spirit in this man. And then he says, in verse 39, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, you gotta imagine this. Here he is. He's been in prison. He's been in the dungeon. He's been kind of waiting. He's been through all this stuff. Then Pharaoh says to him in Genesis 41, verse 37, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. How do you think he was feeling that day? He went from the guttermost to the uttermost. And you know, church, we got to remember something. It's so much better when God exalts. Sometimes we want to exalt ourselves. Sometimes, right, we want to, you know, elevate ourselves. We want to promote ourselves. There's nothing like God promoting you. There's nothing like things happening in God's timing and in God's way. Because then you know it's God. And then you don't walk around thinking, well, yeah, it's because of, the, you know, my sermons and my this and my, right? We think it's about us. We think it's about what we know or about what have you. And it's not about us. God did this. God exalted Joseph. But here's the real tricky part of this story. You go to Genesis chapter 43. There's a series of events. Joseph's brothers now come and they don't recognize him. The last time they saw him, he was 17 years old, screaming and kicking and crying because he was being sold into slavery. Genesis chapter 43, and I want us to read this together. Verse 26. Genesis 43. It says, when Joseph came home, they presented to him the gifts they had brought into the house, and they what? They bowed down before him to the ground. Who is this? Who's bowing down? His brothers. God fulfilled the dream. God told him something when he was a boy, 17, and now it's coming true almost 30-some years later. His brothers didn't recognize him. But he recognized who they were. You ever been to maybe a high school reunion? And you see that guy who maybe didn't treat you right? And you know, that's that feeling of, you know, let me show you kind of who I am or who I've become. You know that feeling? Joseph might have been feeling a little bit of that. It was time for, you know, a little get back. But he didn't go there. And church, here's what I want to encourage us to remember. I think one of the reasons God worked so powerfully through him was that he didn't become bitter. Amen. He didn't become resentful. Amen. I don't think God can work through bitter, resentful people. They're just not happy. He worked through this situation because God continued to help him. And because he kept his focus on exalting God, not only did he persevere, he thrived. Because there was a bigger picture at stake here. He knew that this famine was coming. And he knew he had to help get things prepared. Not just for the country, but he was also thinking too about his family. I want us to conclude here in Genesis 50. Are you with me, church? Genesis 50. And at this point, all of his family comes to Egypt. All his family is now, you know, they meet the Pharaoh and all of this and that. And then Jacob is able to die. This is the same dad who thought he lost his boy some 40 years ago. And then he sees him alive. I can just imagine that moment when they reconnected and he held his boy, the joy he must have felt. I thought he was dead, but he's alive. That's him. It's really him. And then Jacob dies. And so the brothers, they get a little insecure. Look at verse 18. Genesis 15. It says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? So they sent word to Joseph saying, your father left these instructions before he died. So they come up with some good lies. Stop, boy. This is what you ought to say, Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers. the sins and the wrongs they've committed in treating you so badly. Now please, forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came, threw themselves before him. We are your slaves, they said. Here's the kicker. Verse 19, but Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. God fulfilled the dream. Joseph, he just continued to let that spirit guide him. He continued to believe that God had given him a dream and that he was going to help fulfill that dream. You know, church, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. In a moment, we're going to get ready to take communion. You know, it's so amazing when you stop and think about how God plans and works things according to his plan and not our plan. You know, a couple of...
You want the pictures back?
Yeah. I just want to share really quickly. You know, look at this dream come true. Ian, passed the bar exam, and is now a lawyer. Ian is a lawyer in Massachusetts. You know, our brother Nelson Jimenez was appointed elder in the Central Jersey Ministry. They came here in Central Jersey, you know, for a long time. I'm sorry, go back. You know, to see Gloria help her daughter, her adult daughter, be restored to Christ a couple months ago. Dream come true. Dream come true. Now, I'm not going to dwell on that, but a car hit our house. It's not all bad, because it's okay. We have insurance. But here's something else I want you to think about. Here's a preteen young teen club at the Orwella's house. You know, my dream is watching all those boys and to see them all grow up in God's kingdom together. Become disciples and move on into the campus ministry and into the adult ministry. You know, some of us know James and Cheryl Mimi. Well, they baptized their oldest son last month. Dream come true. Dream come true. Yeah, and here's a sister, Lori. Her last name used to be Hudson Davis, single mom in her 40s. Well, just got married 2 weeks ago. Here's my man, Marcel, single brother, holding it down, found his true love. Guys, God wants to fulfill our dreams. There's going to be peaks, there's going to be valleys, there's going to be challenges. But we got to continue to know that God has our best interest at heart. But that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And we need to embrace the fact that just like we receive salvation through some pain and suffering, well, God's going to allow that to happen to us too. So that ultimately people are going to get to know him. Joseph said, you intended to harm me, but this was so that souls would be saved. God has chosen you and your family with your neighborhood, so that ultimately souls would be saved.
Right.
Joseph, like Jesus, is a mediator. He connected us to God's people. Jesus is the mediator.
Yeah.
He connects you and I to having a relationship with God. I'm going to read this passage, and then I'm going to ask the ushers to come on down, and we'll take communion together. But brothers and sisters, let's remember. Joseph, it started with a dream. And when God puts a dream there, well, he's going to fulfill that dream that he puts on our hearts. Philippians 2, verse 5, it says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to God, Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray together. Our God in heaven, we are so glad that it's you who are in control. We thank you for your plan, for the fact that you decided to choose the cross to demonstrate your love for us. That you allowed your son to suffer the way he did. That you allowed him to bleed and ultimately give up his life so that we might have life. Father, help us to always remember that you do have a plan. And I pray that you will bless our time today, that we want to be like Joseph in exalting you only. Yes. That we want you to be known. We want you to be the one given for credit for every good thing that happens in our lives, because we know that it all comes from you. Thank you so much for being so gracious and merciful to us. Thank you for the way that you forgive us. Thank you for the way that you rejuvenate us. You restore us. And Father, that you are well pleased with us. I pray, Father, that you help us to just be grateful. We love you, Father. We thank you. And please help us take this bread with a grateful, thankful heart for all that Jesus did. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.